Well, thank you, Brother Martin, and that was his daughter playing for him, and that's a little bit different, but the words were great, and good for Veterans Day for us, amen. You know, in the early wars, nothing is good about war. War is bad, but you know, it did help spread the gospel around the world. Really did. You check up on that a little bit. All right. Okay, we're going to go to Proverbs again. Proverbs is such a practical book. It's right where we live day by day with the challenges and schemes of the devil against us, the flesh, the world. And yet God's given us good advice how to make it through if we'll heed it. And he's very practical in the book of Proverbs to us. I'm thinking I'm going to move into about chapter 9. I know I'm awful close to that tonight. And of course, the theme doesn't change a lot. It is a book of wisdom, and it is making a great argument why we ought to follow the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the flesh. And in chapter 9, we'll only have about 18 verses. Maybe if you listen fast, we'll get through them all. Amen. But often in the book of Proverbs, it compares not only the bad woman, but the good woman. And of course, I've said this so many times, and it's the truth, in fact, of the world. Somebody's of nature, human nature. Somebody said the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation. Now, the truth of that is, if mothers raise the kids right, that'd be the difference. Amen? I think it was R.G. Lee that preached the great sermon, Payday Someday. And he jumped the fence a time or two in there just to make some extra comments that went along with the story. And he made a statement that back then he could get by with. Today it would not be politically correct at all. He'd probably have somebody wanting to stone his house that night. But in that day, he basically says concerning women that if they're good, the men follow. If they're bad, it's the worst of things. Now, I paraphrase that, but what he was saying, as the women go, so goes the nation. And ladies, you got more power than you think. Trouble is, too much time that's used for wrong instead of right. And God admonishes that. Here, as we start off in chapter 9, again, we remind you that wisdom is personified. What does that mean? It means simply that it's addressed as though it was a living, breathing person. Personified. Now, we also read, as we read the scripture here a little close, we see it runs a parallel, pointing and causing us to think about Jesus. Like Jesus was in the beginning with God in the creation. He didn't start in a manger in Bethlehem. He said he was with God in the beginning. And so you find then that wisdom is personified, but also pictures the Lord Jesus Christ as our wisdom. Now, you ought to have a verse written down in your margin or somewhere that runs a parallel of that. And that would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And of course, chapter 1 deals a lot with God not choosing the wisdom of the world, choosing the things the world actually scorns, and God uses them, takes the weak things and the things to confound the wise. But then he gets down to about the end of that chapter, around verse 30, 31 of 1 Corinthians 1. And he tells us that Jesus, I read it to you, says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus." Ye are in him. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what Jesus is to us. And it starts off here with wisdom. Did you ever think about that? Jesus, I don't know about you, but I sure look back on the life before I knew Jesus and find out I sure didn't live it very wisely. Done a lot of dumb things. He's been my wisdom ever since I got saved. And in following and trying to obey the Lord is a wise thing to do. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's talking about a fear in the sense of awe and following Him and caring what God thinks about how I'm living, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, where I'm going, who all of that. And if you'll measure it and judge it, Jesus wants to be our wisdom. Think about that. You know, it probably costs you a lot of money to go get an appointment with some lawyers, you know, or somebody to get certain advice. Somebody told me they had to go to the hospital and thought they might have COVID. And so they went to get give us a pill, help us out. Said, oh, no, we'll give you nothing unless you let us put you in the hospital. But they did give them a bill for going and talking to them. You understand what I just said? There's something funny going on there, isn't there? But what I'm saying to you is, you may have to pay the world for their wisdom, and it's not very wise. But the Lord Jesus wants to be our wisdom. And He knows everything. He was in the beginning with God and all the way. So wisdom is personified, and the Lord Jesus was made unto us wisdom. Now start in the chapter right here. I want you to start off with me in chapter 9. Wisdom, remember, and it's personified now. In this case, it's the woman here. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn. You guys that don't know how to work, that's taking an axe and cutting something. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. Now we're talking about beasts for a feast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Wisdom here personified is picturing a lady whose household is in order, who's preparing a feast, who's doing everything right, be like a banquet or a big supper. This woman is prepared, says in verse 3, she said, she hath sent forth her maidens. She cried upon the highest places of the city, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Now, we've already read these statements before where the bad woman entices the simple to come in. But here the Lord is saying, the simple man can choose the right place to go and the right direction to go and the right one to listen to. Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I've mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Now that's a good invitation to go to the right place. To the right place, given by wisdom. Woman here representing wisdom. Then some little side advice here. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. Now, wait a minute. This sounds like a twist. Says to you that if you reprove that scorner, you may get shame out of it. That seems a little backwards. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. And you don't have to pastor long to understand this verse pretty clear. Many times we've tried to help somebody and as it were, got burnt for it, cursed for it, ridiculed for it, criticized for it. Now the New Testament, over in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaks to this. He says to us over there, cast not our pearls before the swine. Now wisdom will teach you not to sometimes cast your pearls the wrong way. Now, what does that mean? And that means the best you got. I could get a hand raised tonight, I'm sure, if I said, how many of you ever gave somebody some money or some help and they misused it? All of us. Preachers do it all the time. We reconcile ourselves a little bit, even though I do not believe God condones us, especially taking his money and just doing what Jesus said don't do, and that's throwing it before the swine. I've had it happen. I'm more careful than I used to be. And I reconcile it a little bit. Okay, all right, they'll answer to God for it if they misuse it. And there's some comfort in that. I've also, as an older preacher, gotten a little wiser maybe, and maybe a little bolder sometime. I've had them come to my office to talk me out of some money, and all the stories, I know them. Oh, I know them pretty good. But I've had them, I remember one. I said, okay, if I give you this money, but I want to pray over it first. Oh, yeah. So I prayed, God, if he uses this for alcohol, kill him. Boy, I mean, his eyes got big. And I said, if he uses this for tobacco, Lord, kill him. He's lying to you to take your money. Now, you know what? He decided he didn't need it. You say you meant that prayer, I meant it. I've been hooked a few times. I remember one come right up the door right there. For some reason, seemed like I'd let him pull some weeds or something before and paid him for it. So anyhow, on that occasion, just the secretary and I was busy, and we were, you know, and I was fixing to go to the hospital, and so I thought, maybe it's legitimate, maybe he's hungry, so oh, it's years ago. Money was worth more then than now, as far as inflation goes, but I gave him $10. I believe it was $10. Out of my pocket, just my money, gave him $10, and I wasn't thinking about it. He left, and I left pretty quick. When I got down there to the third red light, right where the city hall used to be, it's the building still there. Just past it on the left is a drugstore now. It used to be an ABC liquor place. And they literally had a drive-through that you could see. I realized as I was pulling off from that last red light, I'm right behind a car, and that's the man that was just in my office in the passenger side of that car. Guess what? He turned right into the driveway of the ABC liquor store. Now, he just left my office with my $10, and it was obvious what was going on. Now, in the flesh, in the old me, you know what I wanted to do? Turn in there and get my $10 back. Then I got to thinking, what kind of headlines that gonna make? Preacher in brawl at liquor store. So I said, chalk that one up to experience. Chalk that one up to being a little wiser maybe next time. And I've had that thing happen so many times. And most of the time I don't have time to mess with that stuff. And sometimes I have a little fun with it. I remember some Spanish fellows come in, about three of them, fairly healthy young man, but one of them had a broke arm, or at least he had it in a sling. My son was younger then. He was happened to be with him. So they were broken English, but they was trying to point to me, this guy's got a broke arm. And I suspect it might have been. It looked like it was in a sling. Now, I was in funny humor that day. Sometimes I have these Dagwood spells where I just get a kick out of funning around a little bit. And they kept pointing his arm. I said, broke. I said, yeah. But I didn't do it. That shocked them so bad. They just thought I didn't understand. Got a broke arm, though. You got to give us some money. He's got a broke arm. I told him about three times with a big grin. Yeah, but I didn't do it. Now, you're going to always have those that you can throw your pearls in front of. And the Lord will give you wisdom, and he'll give you peace about it. And there's sometimes you may get took a little bit, and maybe God will judge them later on it. Understand that. All of that. But here, this is a good woman preparing a good meal, keeping her house in order. And then here comes the advice. The simple can turn in. and the advice to forsake the foolish. And then if you do reprove a scorner, you may get rebuked for it. Old Chinese proverb went like this. It said, "Why do you hate me? I haven't tried to help you yet." It's quite interesting. Used to be a service station here in town. The guy got saved before he got died. Even in the early years, he had a lot of good moral Christian principles, and a lot of us was witnessing to him. But he had a sign in his service station that I always thought had quite a message to it. It's one he'd printed up and put up. Because people come in businesses like that, just like they do church, and asking for the help and stuff. And the sign said something like this: "You ask me for credit, and I don't give, and you get mad. You ask me for credit, and I give, and you no pay, and I get mad." And the bottom line, there were several lines he had on there. Bottom line said, better you get mad than me. Well, sometimes, I mean, that's human nature. We learn. We have to follow along sometimes with that. But the Bible is practical. Here in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, gives you some wisdom about it. It says, when you do rebuke a fool, so to speak, you may reap bad for it. So he says, reprove, verse 8, not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Now, that's amazing. Why would you reprove him? Well, you would reprove him to try to help him, but what would it cause? He hate thee. Hate thee. That's the Chinese proverb again. But rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Now, we all ought to also think about this. Have we ever been rebuked? Did we resent the rebuke, or did we examine the rebuke to see if it might be for our good? Might be for our good. That's the first thing we ought to do. Lord, is it accurate? If it is, then it, was it wrong? All right, if it was wrong, ask for forgiveness. Get it right. That's a challenge to us. Then it says in verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So that's the opposite. And it's telling you that you're going to be received both ways. Both ways. Now it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that's the verse we quote every now and then. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, it's long life, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. Your own wisdom will help you too. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. In other words, it's a sowing and reaping. It's a turnaround. Now, wisdom here personified in this first picture, the good woman with the house in order, with a great supper, inviting the simple to come in and be improved. And yet in the second, and you notice in your King James Bible that little musical note at number 13, you notice that? You see that? It means the thought's changing. And in this case, it means it's changing to the opposite. It says in verse 13, by the way, notice how the 13s always come out in the bad spots. 13, the world even treats 13 as being an evil number, don't they? A lot of hotels will not have a 13th floor on. Did you know that? It used to be there wouldn't be a 13th seat on airplanes. Now they've kind of changed that, I think. And number 13 was considered bad. Well, the book of Revelation chapter 13 tells us of the evil one that's going to come in with the mark of the beast. And Brother Kevin Mann preaching to us and others have pointed out how many times over and over the bad stuff hits on 13. Too much to be a coincidence. And I know, and you college young men, listen to me, you're going to read after everybody that claims to be smart, and they're going to tell you, well, the chapter numbers and verses was added later, and I agree they were, but God was still alive when they were added, and I believe he supervised the adding, because it's too much to the coincidence for it to happen in such a way that it does with the numbers. And yet, like I say, even the world fears the number 13. So here at the 13th verse, we switch from good to bad. We cross the street. It says, and a foolish woman, opposite of the first woman now, a foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. Now look at the comparison here between the two. And where we need wisdom is to know the difference between the two, to choose the right one, listen to the right one and not the wrong one. And we're in a day and time when the devil's cleverness is doing so much damage. He has been very clever in the election, we know that. We know the paper ballots came about in such a way to be able to pull all kind of tricks with them. And I've talked to you about that. And it's okay to keep praying, but I don't know what God's going to do with it. I don't know where it's going to get much worse before it gets better. Whatever. And I'll just say this and get off of it. It is right to pray for our nation still. Not just this election, but listen, we could see the church, we could see God's people revive enough that by the next election, we could really set things right. I mean, if you look at the vote today, the majority of Christians seem to have lost in the election, but 81 something million, that's a lot of votes. And we still could take this nation back if we really had genuine revival before the Lord. I don't park on that much except to say keep praying. And if it looks like it's not going to get any help out of the courts, never expected much there. But the Lord Jesus is still able, still on the throne. And because sometimes the wrong side gets the most votes, don't mean they're the right, that they're right. They're still just as wrong as they ever was, killing the babies and everything else we could name. But God's wisdom is to see the difference. You are in a, I've told somebody, you're in a chess game with the devil. We all are. And you may not know much about chess, but he's trying to checkmate you all the time. And the truth is, we got to keep standing and not surrender to that stuff. Now, God's wisdom, we can still deal in it. And the book of Proverbs tells us how to walk through this old minefield that's exploding all around us, all the traps the devil sets, all the deception. But if we'll follow God's advice, we can come right on through it. We'd be victorious on the all the way through. This virus damaged the church so much. I was thinking about it. I've got some folks mad at me about it, for sure, I guess. But I was thinking about it this way, too. Not one person on our roll that I know about. And our roll is big. I wish we could get our whole roll here at one time. It's big. But not one person on our church roll has died of COVID. Some have tested positive for it, and in a few days, by the grace of God, and maybe good doctors or good hospital, they got over it. And I'm proud of that. I'd name one or two that died that got called COVID, tacked on the end, but they already had a chronic problem they were dying of anyway, and that's just not fair to even tack it on the end like that. So with all the static we might catch over it, I believe with all my heart God has blessed us for taking a right stand. And his church is still strong instead of gone. I was in a preacher's meeting yesterday in Jacksonville. Brother Parsons and I went up there. A lot of preachers I hadn't seen in a while, and some of them. But here's one thing I got from several of them. Well, Scotty was up there also. And a lot of preachers are regretting shutting down. they're regretting it. Because now it's a hard thing to get everybody back and going again. It's almost like surrendering and saying, well, the church wasn't as important as we thought it was. But it was. It's God's church. And I said this from the beginning. I never had the authority to shut it down and never even was tempted to even think that way. If it had just been me and my wife and you, we'd have been here. Amen. That's all there is to it. Now, grace of God, I can live with that decision when I stand before Him. I couldn't live with it. If I'd have said, Lord, my life was so precious down here, I was afraid I'd get sick. So I shut your house down. How you think that's going to play at the judgment seat? I don't think it's going to play out very good. Here, as I look in Proverbs, I want to do the wise thing. I want to follow the wise invitation. Now, here's a foolish woman coming up to be compared to the good woman in the first verses. It tells about her. It says the foolish woman is clamorous. And you can write a lot under that word. She is simple and knoweth nothing. She setteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high place of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. You know, it's an amazing thing with young people how that, well, the school rules are this, the church rules are this, mom and dad's rules are this. And it's almost like I'm getting by with something. Pin a merit badge on me. Yeah, I wouldn't mind pinning one on you. It would say fool. Pure fool. When you reject God's right way, and His right way is going to tell you right, good parents are going to tell you right, a good church is going to tell you right, a good school is going to tell you right. And when you say, boy, I'm slipping away with something, tastes better if you steal it. Oh, no, you're going to pay for it. It's going to get bittersweet before it's over with, amen? And here, just 18 verses, gives us a comparison of listening to the right call or the wrong call, being enticed to go the right way or the wrong way. And the recommendation of the book of Proverbs all the way through is that we receive wisdom from God. Let it direct our lives and our path and our choices. All the things that we must face and deal with in this world, God says, I'll give you wisdom. Book of James again, you've heard me say this over and over. The book of James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I sure have prayed that prayer a lot. Have you ever caught yourself saying, Lord, I just need wisdom? I believe we really pray that from the heart because, you know, Solomon, the great king, I've thought about him a lot and through the years. I've brought him up somewhat before the Lord a few times. Great king. God allowed him to build the temple. Wouldn't allow David to build it. He's a man of war with blood on his hands. And let David gather the materials, and King Solomon came in, and God led him to build the temple, and then the dedication of the temple came, and you read the great prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And you remember, he said, Lord, I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go in and come out by myself. Threw himself before the Lord asking for wisdom. And God honored that request, honored it because he didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for wealth. But God said, since you didn't ask for those, I'm going to give them to you anyway as a bonus. The word bonus ain't there. Don't look it up. I added that in, but that's what it meant. And the truth of the matter is God does promise to give us wisdom if we truly, truly desire it from Him. Amen. All right, let's stand. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that helps us, instructs us, guides us day by day. We ask your time, Father. We pray against the storm, whatever it's going to do. We pray that you direct it away and not hurt anybody if it can be your will. We pray you'd bless our country and the situation that we're in right now. And bless us as your people to walk wisely before you, to seek the wisdom that comes from above, not from this earth. I pray you'd bless us to be strong now. Bless tomorrow and protect as the schools are closed and all the details. And we trust you for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Burke, choir practice? Choir practice tonight. Come right on, choir.